This is a huge event. I want you to understand something very clearly, because I think you need to understand it before you leave here today. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. He died, if you were the only one that needed to be saved, God died for you. This morning, we come now and we celebrate the resurrection. This is where they believe that, at least some do, believe that this is where Christ was buried. I don't know for sure. It's in Jerusalem. But this is kind of gives us a visual image that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross. He was not an illusion. He was not a figment of somebody's imagination. Jesus Christ was real. Matter of fact, when I took a history course at Florida State University, the professor doing the history class as we went through validated and said Jesus was a real person. Yet on the other end, in talking with the professor, he did not embrace the gospel. Jesus was real, but he wasn't this. So let's look at what we learned today. First of all, and I'm putting this in form of evidences, Jesus rose from the dead, and the first one is the empty tomb. Now notice at verse 1, now after the Sabbath, towards the day of the first week, of course the Sabbath would have ended Saturday at 5 when it got dark. That would have started Sunday, so this was obviously Sunday morning, first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. A couple of thoughts here. When they went to the tomb, first of all, the women were going to anoint Jesus' body for burial. Mark 16:1 confirms that. So they were coming. Must have been kind of a somber moment. You could almost picture the women. He's dead. He's gone. And you could probably, I'm not sure this was, I don't think Mary, the mother of God, is mentioned here, because I don't think she would have been referred to as the other Mary. Actually, I did a little note on this. I think it's Mary, the wife of Clopas. And if you want to look at that, John 19:25. But anyway, these two women came and they were actually going to anoint the body of Christ. Now something miraculous happens. When they get there, obviously this story unfolds. But let me go one step further and say that women were not credible witnesses. Matter of fact, they did not testify because they were not credible. Now, if you were going to build a gospel, if you were going to build something on witnesses, you would not use women to validate the message. Yet, Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, the first people that actually witnessed the resurrection were women. Counter. Kind of ironic. And behold, notice in verse 2, and behold, there was an earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. If you go back and you read Matthew 27:51-54, you find that there was another earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. God was trying to get their attention. There was an earthquake on the cross where the temple and the veil of the temple was rent in two, and now there's an earthquake at the moment of Jesus' resurrection. Let me tell you this. Whenever God gets your attention, it usually shakes the ground you are on. My earthquake happened October 12, 1981, on a field training exercise in Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas. It was on that day the Army chaplain led me to an old abandoned, my people have heard this. Some of you that are visiting here, I know you haven't, but that's fine. Took me to an old abandoned chapel that they only used when they would go to the field. He walked me down to the front and he shared with me the gospel message. Jesus died and rose again for me. And I accepted it. That day was my earthquake, my awakening to how I needed to get to heaven and the reality that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. You can listen to what the world says, but I'm telling you, there's coming a day when you will stand before him and you have to answer, who do you believe? You either believe God or you believe man. I've chosen to believe God. I've chosen to believe in the message. Now notice, immediately after this, and fear and for fear of him, the guards trembled, and they became like dead men. Obviously, you have this angel who has come down, rolled this stone away. And by the way, the angel did not roll the stone away to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. I've got a video clip at the end of the sermon that'll explain that. So here you have this moment of sadness and sorrow and going to anoint the body, and all of a sudden God shows up through an angel. There's an earthquake. The grave, the tomb is rolled back so that people could come in and see the empty tomb, at least these two Marys. Then the angel's message. The angel's message is very simple and direct. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. This is our banner. He has risen. He has risen in our hearts." Those of you that have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he has risen in your heart already. For some of you today, he has not risen. I pray that he will. "For he has risen. Come and see the place where he lay." The big question for us is, what does it mean? What are the implications for not only believers, but for unbelievers? What are the implications if Jesus rose from the dead? And I absolutely 150%, if you can even push it that far, I absolutely believe in my heart that this event took place and that Jesus is who he says he is. So what are the implications? Number one, it validates Christ's claims. Jesus said, "To see me is to see the Father. I and the Father are one. I am the Son of God. I am the one that takes away the sins of the world." It validates the claims of Christ. Nobody else could do this except the Son of God. Secondly, it validates the Scripture. The Bible, from the front pages all the way to the back, is absolutely, unequivocally God's Word. This is his word. God breathed his word to us. Whenever you read the Scriptures, you are reading the voice of God to you. It confirms the Scripture. Everything that was said in Scripture that pointed to Christ, it's true. It validates it, because only Christ could do this. It gives us hope beyond the grave. Listen, I know you go through life. A lot of us go through life, we do not think about death. And I know baseball season getting ready to start, and they're going to focus on averages. Let me tell you, death's average right now, it's 100%. Anybody that is born will die unless Jesus Christ comes back. It hasn't missed. And that means me and you. We will all die. There's coming a day. We don't know the day or the hour, and so you need to get ready. When I was in the Army years ago, and I'm talking years ago now, 19 years old, over in Germany, I was 19, I went to Germany. Spreckensy what? Used to hang out. Sunday nights, my first weekend in my duty station, which is called Permanent Party. It sounded good. Party. They said, "We're going to have a GI party tonight." GI parties start at 6 o'clock in the evening. We used to take all of our bunks, all eight of us. We lived in one room. Take our bunks, put it out in the hallway. We would sweep the floor. Then we would take Johnson's paste wax. We would have it on a handle, a hanger, wire hanger. We would set it on fire. We would light it. It would melt. And we'd pour that onto our floor. And then we'd usually, Shirley, maybe some other guys, would go in there and they'd start buffing that. It looked nice. It looked like glass by the time we were done with it. Every Sunday night. Why'd we do that? Because we were good soldiers? We did that because we had inspection on Monday morning. We were prepared. Some of you may not be prepared to see Jesus on the day of inspection. You need to be ready. And this is the only way. I am convinced. Every Christian that I have watched pass from this life to the next, I am absolutely convinced that they went in to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because that gives us hope. I don't know how unbelievers live without certainty of what is beyond this life. In other words, when you're getting ready to die, how can you not think about, is there something else? Is there something more? And I'm here to tell you, as God's messenger and as his minister to this church, there is something more. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, and he rose from the dead so that you may gain victory when you die. Gives us hope. But it also assures a future judgment, because Jesus said he will judge the world, that God will judge the world. And if Jesus rose from the dead, it all follows. If Christ is real, if he rose, and if he gives us hope, then there will be a judgment. Who do you believe? Are you ready? And I'm not talking about, do you have churchianity? I'm talking about, do you have Christianity? That is Jesus Christ in you. The angel goes on and he tells them, go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, so I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Kind of a moment of unbelievable joy. Fear mixed with joy. Just can't believe what they had just witnessed. You could almost maybe understand how they would feel. Everything that Jesus said at that moment began to click. Destroy this temple in 3 days and it will rise. He that drinks from me will never thirst again. I will give them living water. And in this moment, they go back and they come to the risen Savior. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. By the way, that was the first worship service of the church, of the risen Savior. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, you'll notice on your outline there, I put evidences. There's three evidences. First, the empty tomb. Second, the angel's message. And thirdly, Jesus' appearance from the resurrection. And by the way, if you go into Scripture, particularly 1 Corinthians 15:6, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. If I were a prosecutor, and I wanted to make a case against somebody, and I paraded at least 520 witnesses before the jury, what do you think the jury is going to come back with? He didn't make his case. If you've got 500, oh, well, it's over 520 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, don't you think you should trust those witnesses? You put somebody in a courtroom today and parade 520 witnesses before a jury, and I bet you the verdict's going to come back guilty. Guarantee it. Anybody in this room that has trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony. By the way, not only 520, all through history, people have given testimonies. Those of you that have trusted in Christ, you have a testimony. That is a witness. Yes, Jesus Christ has changed my life. If you would have told me, senior moment, calculation, if you would have told me back in 1980 that not only would I be saved, but I would become a pastor, I would have laughed at you. Because my plan was to finish my army career. But God has a way of changing lives and calling people. He may be calling you today. You need to respond. Today is the day of salvation. You have the risen Savior. But you know what? In all of this, the world denies it. Notice the guards. I don't think I would have wanted to have been a guard. But look at this. While they were going, behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. So these guards now, who were guarding the tomb of Jesus, they were there when the stone was rolled away. Do you know, Roman guards, if they let or fell asleep, they would have themselves been in big trouble, probably to the point of death. So now they've got a huge issue going on. They've got an escaped prisoner body. It was dead, but now it's escaped. Now let's look at what happens. There's this huge cover-up. There's a cover-up, 12 through 15. And when they had assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. And they said, "Tell the people, his disciples came by night." Do you believe this account or do you believe God's account? "And stole him away while we were asleep." One liberal scholar wrote of this event that Jesus' body was thrown in the streets and dogs ate it. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. "And if it comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." Telling the guards this, "You didn't do your job, but don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed, and the story has been spread among the Jews to this day. So here you have this religious elite planning how they can say this event never happened. This is what you have. You have lies, payoff, and scandal. Who do you believe? You've got God's word here, which is absolutely true, which, by the way, there's no contradiction in it. Or on this side of the story, you have lies, scandal, deception, all this stuff going on. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. I see theological arguments from the left, from those that are liberal, those that are lost. They try to explain away the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because it's pinnacle to the Christian faith. If Christ has not been raised, you are dead in your sins. And you have no hope. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, you have hope. And it's absolutely true. Who do you believe? Jesus rose from the dead. This is very, very simple. You do not need a doctorate in theology to get this. Jesus either rose from the dead or he did not. It's simple. Listen to Ray Vanderland here just for a minute.
"The stone in front of the tomb must have been very large. This one, the channel is more than a foot wide. The stone must have weighed several tons here. We don't know, of course, exactly where Jesus' tomb was, but it was a very large stone. So when the unleavened bread feast was over, when Shabbat was over, and the women came through the streets of the city that was awakening on Sunday morning, they wondered who would roll away the stone. Now, I had always understood that the sequence of events that morning were that an angel came down and rolled that stone away with great power. And Jesus came out of the tomb and returned to his Father. And then the women and later the disciples came to look in to see that the tomb was empty. But if you read the text carefully, that's not the sequence. The sequence was Jesus came out of the tomb. Then the angel came down and rolled away the stone so the disciples and the women could come and look in and see that he was alive. And that's an important detail, for there is no stone, not the tombstone the size of this one or any of the other rolling stones that have been found around this country, not even the 650-ton stone Herod put in the Temple Mount could hold back the power of the Messiah, God's Son, when it was time for him to come back from the dead. And it was on the feast of first fruits, the day in which the Jewish people brought to God the very beginning of their spring harvest, the very first part of their fruit, to say, God, this is all I have, but I give it to you because I know you'll provide for me the rest. And Jesus was raised on first fruits. And as Paul says, he was the first fruit of those who were raised from the dead. His resurrection is the proof, the evidence, the commitment he made that all of us, his followers, will be raised, resurrected one day.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." The gospel, brothers and sisters, is simple. In essence, you either believe. I love the song our praise team sang before service, before the sermon. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He was born of a virgin. He walked a sinless life. Had to be sinless to pay for our sins. Walked a sinless life. Took that sinless life. Went to the cross. 9-inch nails in his hands and feet. Went to the cross. Died physically. Did not die spiritually. Gave up his spirit. 3 days later, rose again from the dead. Appeared to his disciples over a 40-day period. Then was taken up into heaven where he reigns at the right hand of God. And if you believe in that, this is the gospel. If you believe in this account, if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and forget what the world is telling you, forget the lies the world makes up, if you will believe in that account, I can tell you with all assurance, you will bust the kingdom of heaven wide open on the day that you die. If you do not believe in this account, like my father and others who have laughed, scoffed, and mocked, if you reject this message, I'm trying to be as serious and as loving at the same time as I possibly can be. If you have rejected that message and you laugh at Christ and you laugh at the sacrifice that he paid and you reject God's message, you will spend eternity in hell separated from him forever. Who do you believe? This crazy preacher, the gospel, other Christians, or do you believe the world, which is as lost as a ball in high weeds? That's the resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, he shall live." What about today? Do you want to trust in Christ today? It's easy to do. All you have to do is get up, come forward, or maybe even after church, talk with somebody and say, "Pastor, deacon, friend, I need to trust in Christ." Please do that today. None of us are promised tomorrow. Whatever decision you need to make, please make it. Don't wait. Make it today. Who do you believe?